Hi, I'm Keegan, and this is A Bunch of Gamers. This is our 138th episode of Werewolf the Apocalypse 20th Anniversary Edition. Rage across the heavens, Sept of the Stars. I'm gonna go around and have my players introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Sam. I play Cora. She's an Aruna in the Get of Fenris.
Hi, I'm Adam. I play Mark Guides the Fallen, and he's a Thurge of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sean. I play Zeb, Speaks in Sweet Whispers. He is a Thurge of the Silent Striders.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I play Dimitri Howells in Memory, Lupus Galliard of the Bone Gnarrs.
Hi, my name is George. I am playing William Groves Matrices. He is a Fostern Arun of the Glasswalkers.
Last time, the Pax entered the Sept of the Unified Heart and spoke to Final Days, trying to get some advice. After finding out that the Protectors of Gaia and the Judges of Doom were beginning to strike and inform every Karen with a Moonbridge out of the North American continent, the Pax moved north to Vancouver to find out any information they could on Storm Chaser, learning that the original Storm Chaser apparently died as a Kleoth to a vampire. The Pax came back together to try and figure out what to do next. Suddenly, there was a knocking on the window, and two Garu claiming to be from the Sept of the Stars had arrived, and they wished to speak to the Pax about the child. And so, Moonsinger goes, "We have an interest in this cub. Specifically, we know that it is tied to Anthelios, and we're not sure how."
It seems like everybody has an interest in this cub.
My Greek is rusty, but I don't necessarily understand how anti-sun means anything in this instance.
Anthelios, the eye of the worm, consumer of light, that which will replace our star and give very little in return, the red flicker of the end.
There are a lot of individuals, Elder, acting in very unusual ways now that this Anthelios has appeared, and certainly many have interest in this cub. Thus far, our interest, and I will simply enough, we are very interested in it remaining alive.
As are we. We're not sure what the child is, and to act rashly is what is a terrible sin of our people that has repeated time and time again. From the War of Shame to the two Wars of Rage, the destruction of the Kamazot, and 100 other sins, including the Impergium. We must learn all we can about this child, and given the child's ties to the heavens and the signs that Phoenix has given us, I come to you with wisdom in these dark times. I would suggest finding a way into the Umbra and entering the ethereal realm. Seek the Sept of the Stars for succor and respite for but a moment before you enter the realm and travel the void to speak to the incarna representations of the celestial bodies so that they may speak of the child and perhaps even speak of the eye.
You think that the incarna of the planets will be willing to speak to us because of the child? I feel like that would be the only way we'd gain an audience.
All the celestial spirits are willing to speak to those who perform any tasks of proving their worth. But once you get there, having the child will certainly spark something in them, I'm sure.
Egan, I know there are ways to get through, right, heart of a cairn, places where the gauntlet is low enough. May I have a roll that would give me some options?
That is the only one you know of, getting to a heart of a cairn.
Elder, do you happen to have someone with much favor and trust that would allow this child to pass through the heart of their cairn unquestioned?
Some might. The protectors and the judges of doom are not monolithic, nor do they know of all the cairns in North America. They are only going to the cairns that are known and the cairns that can lead off the continent, and then they will slowly close the net until you cannot escape. But there are tribes that are not closely associated with the Protectors, and Karens, too small to gain their notice right away. Weak Karens with but a single pack or two that protect them. Bone Gnars, Glasswalkers, Children of Gaia, and Older Brother tend not to have many who sit with the Protectors. And that would be gaps in their information network, at least initially.
There's an Actena Cairn here, but I'm not sure what all of you think. That's mighty close proximity, and I feel like envoys might have already been sent there to try to get them to act one way or another.
Very likely.
Well, I feel no matter how sympathetic they are to our cause, and perhaps to the child and letting us use the Cairn, doesn't affect the feelings of those looking for the child and what they would do to those that helped us. I feel this is too much a risk for innocent.
If I may ask, what about your sept, Elder?
Our sept is in Europe.
Never mind.
I remember hearing before, there were a few places the Actena maintained in the southwest. One in particular was just a single elder that was tending a bane there, ended up being executed for being believed to have served the worm. I know that the Silent Striders went on behalf of the nation, apologized for that crime. There might be a few places like that, like the elders mentioning, that we could use, because they've been dormant for a while. It takes some looking, though. I don't know them all that well, and the Actena are pretty good about keeping a secret like that. Better for you to be forgotten, even if they aren't guarding it.
Why not find a Karen, then, of those most low? Those whom the Garu tend to shun, as she eyes Dimitri.
Dimitri will speak up and say about the sept of Hidden Dreams in Los Angeles. I've never been there personally, but there are stories that I've been spreading around. It's a single pack of Bonars that maintains the Cairn, but they have been fostering the Wild and the Weaver.
Well, what's in a name, huh?
Certainly the best option right now.
I think we have our destination then. Probably best we get the hell out of here, since the net is, as you said, Elder, closing. Is Gravekeeper still there, right?
Yes.
And I'll look at him. Who do I need to watch out for? I didn't think we were going to be on this team. Well, some of us were going to join that team.
You will know them. They are typically elders, and they're the ones who tend to speak the most of Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
Who all has joined is a mystery to me, though. As many, even the young, will vie to gain the eye and attention of an elder to improve their position among the people.
I know Pax a Lunch was identified specifically as one that began carrying the message of our crimes. Be on the lookout there, perhaps.
Yes. Well, the best of luck to you. The drive is a long one.
Thank you, Elder. We're certainly going to need the luck.
All right, so just remember, if you try and cross with the truck, you will have to go through a port of entry.
Well, I think as before, we're going to abandon the vehicle, hey?
Yeah. Wait, our Dazzler isn't here.
Ah, shit.
Can he just be the more than perfect NPC right now?
Sorry, spending all of his dazzles on keeping the child medically induced because you're such fucking parents.
Again, I am legally obligated to say that the razzle dazzle has no long-term effects on a cub. It's not our fault we've been advised by our Philodox to say this.
We could try basically our old strategy, but this time just knock him out, I guess. Just punch him.
Well, it's 1,200 miles from the Washington side of Vancouver to LA, so...
So, I was thinking, if we can find a electric vehicle, I could hack into it, shut it down, and then turn it back on after we kind of take the vehicle. There's a lot of electric vehicles being produced nowadays. Hell, even the 18-wheelers are turning electric to some degree.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds like a plan. Maybe.
Well, my idea was train hobos. So, I mean,
we could do that.
So electric car might be significantly sexier than like riding a livestock train. All right. Well, we have the ultra sophisticated option or the 1930s hobo option.
Well, we still have this vehicle. We can
until we get to the border, right?
Until we get to the border, and then from there we cross the border as wolves and whatnot, and then so on and so forth.
The question is where at the border do we cross? Do we cross at train tracks? Because then we'd pick up the train. If we cross closer to civilization, then it would be electric vehicle.
Well, clearly we're going to do either one in Washington State, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll worry about what we're doing in Washington. And I think it kind of seems to be the vibe of doing the electric car thing when we get to Washington.
Right. So we just wander through the woods for a bit to the U.S. side of the border and then, figure out our lives at that point.
All right. You all shift into Lupus and run over carrying the cub, who is docile at the moment.
Again, I'm going to keep an eye out in the Umbra, especially through here, to make sure there aren't spirits that have been tagged to our description one way or another that might be pursuing.
Okay. No spirits seem to be following you. As moving through, you do find at a nearby charging station, once you finally get back into town, an Edison that you could potentially hack into.
Okay, so I spend a point of willpower to activate plug and play.
All right.
So that way I can just connect to the computer on board.
All right.
And what would be the role?
There'll be int computer diff 4, as this system is not very sophisticated and they've clearly skimped on security measures. As you connect to your phone, you unlock the doors. You're able to get in. The car is fully charged. It's on your phone, you click a button and the car starts up. As you start to drive away, as you feel the uncomfortable feeling of the car making zero sound, as you start to speed up and all of you feel yourselves getting slowly pulled back into the chairs that you're riding in, as you start making your way down, you're going to want to, if you want to make it in one day, you'll have to drive in shifts, as it's over a 20-hour drive.
Zeb and Dimitri, or Trash Drummer and, the Confessor, can alternate, in the driver's seat, as long as who's ever riding shoddy makes sure everything's good, right? So, we'll do 5-hour stints with and we'll crash. We'll sleep. and the person shotgun just makes sure everything's good. And I think that'll work well enough for a long trip like that.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'll sit shotgun for most of it to keep the vehicle operational as best as I can. And I can turn off the GPS that's also in this thing, right?
You can.
Okay.
Oh, and it's Gertzelo that's been relegated to childcare duty.
Yes.
So Mark will keep an eye out for traps, followers, anything suspicious.
Perfect. Driving along, just shooting through. Mark, could I get a perception alertness?
Go 2.
If 6. All right. Looking at, after about 100, maybe 200 miles, it seems like the same car has been following you for a while.
I'll point this out. Kind of seems for a bit this car's been following us, but I don't know. There's been lots of traffic. It's been for a long time, though.
Hang on.
Had it been, always trying to stay behind us?
To tell, it's just that you've seen that car has been basically following you for the last 200 miles. Same turn, same everything. Keeping a distance that shouldn't be suspicious, but because you've been actively looking out, you've actively noticed that it's there. Zeb, you're the one sleeping at the moment.
Okay.
Make sure you're driving, because you're able to see the car.
In that case, I guess to make sure that this car actually is following us, Dimitri is going to change lanes and then kind of slowly start to slow down until it's kind of obnoxious to everybody that's driving on the highway. Going 50 on a 75.
Fair. All right. So you do that as that car passes you. But then they get over too, and while you're going 55, they're going 56, so they're inching out a little bit, and then it looks like they keep braking. It almost looks like the person turns around swatting at what looks like kids, but they definitely seem to be trying to keep pace with you.
All right, and then Dimitri will switch lanes suddenly, probably cut somebody off, and then slam on the gas pedal.
All right, it's time to do some reckless driving. Dex drive, difficulty 7.
Precision reckless driving.
All right, hold on to your butts.
That is the first thing you hear as the commotion wakes you up. As you're sleeping with your head on the thing, you hear hang on to your butts, and you feel your head go whoom way into the window as Dimitri speeds up and starts going as the other car starts to speed up and start following you.
Yeah, I think we're being followed.
As they keep pace, just as you guys are going, shooting between other cars.
Okay, being followed. Idea. Cora, you throw your hammer at it.
No.
I'm not going to do that because
there are other people on the road and the veil... Hey, these guys violate litany. No, we don't. We just violently rip the veil open by throwing Thor's hammer in the middle of a busy highway.
Violate doesn't even...
So, here's my thought. Since I'm already shotgun, I roll down the window, take one or two shots at the tire, and then now they can't follow us.
Perfect. All right, make a dex... Actually, yeah, make a dex firearms roll.
That's just my plan, but no supernaturalness to it. Hey!
There's no credit for half answers and partial correctness. He showed his work.
Damn it. You got me there.
But your trick shot does apply to this.
Yep.
But it'll be diff 8 because of all the swerving Dimitri's doing and all the horns blaring. As one guy does get his window down just enough to for you're fucking passing him, your windows are down at the same time. He's like, what are you fucking crazy? And then his window starts going up as he hits the accelerator as fast as possible.
Okay.
As you pew pew, as you take out one of the tires, the tire blows. You see the spark starting to fly from the rim as the car tries to keep up. But as you swerve and they try and keep up with you, the car spins, hitting three other cars, smashing into the median. And there's a 10-car pile up behind you.
We need to ditch this car.
Now. I say we drain the battery, though. As much distance from here as possible with this thing.
Alright, once we get a fair distance away from the pileup, Dimitri will slow... Well, maybe not slow down. Never mind. But go not as fast as before and ease off the reckless driving for sure.
As you ease off, you start driving the speed limit. You start driving like a standard, you know, American, not a grandma, not a student driver either. As you guys have some time to figure things out, as I'm sure the police are probably looking for you.
Yes.
All right, so from what Keed said, it's about 200 miles into the trip. We're about 1,000 miles away from LA now.
About, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Dimitri is going to start looking a town or a gas station to pull over at so that we can switch cars.
We can do Sean's idea. I was about to be like, we can do Trey Hobo idea now.
That actually doesn't
but that's
sound
just
like
me.
Idea.
I mean, not a bad idea. So, you guys kind of.
Most trains don't have cameras.
Yeah. So, well, either way, you're ditching the car. So,
yep.
You can do a gas station or somewhere else. Either way, it's going to be hard, and you probably want to go to some place where people aren't, since you still have a baby in full Krynos who will inflict the delirium on everyone around it.
We're beyond Seattle, right? Because if we're just traveling straight south, we're still in the northern portion of Washington State, but we're south of Lake Tacoma.
Okay. Hang on, I'm going to get a distance. Yeah, you're past Seattle. You're just south of, you're about south of Tacoma.
Well, there's the Olympic National Forest.
Which is where the Unified Heart is.
Right, so let's stay away from there. There's the National Park around Mount Rainier.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just move south.
And then
maybe see if we can hit you right on a train car like you had planned. But considering this is probably our last stop with this vehicle, maybe we can re-up on some stuff for the child.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, then we just get our supplies and send the car off a bridge on auto drive.
All right, so you guys do that, get your supplies, you put it in auto drive, and it looks like someone was asleep at the wheel thinking their car would take them home, and it flew off a bridge and smashed down. Luckily, didn't hit any pedestrians. You guys start to slink away.
One with the forest.
Where are you guys heading? You guys are going to steal another car, or are you going to try and get on the train?
I vote train.
Train.
Yeah, I'm thinking train.
Train is a pretty good one.
All right, so you guys hide by some nearby tracks. It's been about, after finding a place to kind of, you know, get out, it's about 6 o'clock. You wait there till about 10 when a big train finally passes through with a bunch of supplies. I'm going to need a stamina athletics to catch up with the train, grab on, and pull yourself on. Luckily, Kyle is spending willpower to do that. Hopefully, unless none of you make it, then Kyle failed the roll too.
Okay.
Diff 8. Because this is basically encompassing three things. This encompasses you running after the train, you jumping at the train, you grabbing onto the train, holding on, and pulling yourself on.
All right. In that case, I'm going to do this in Glabro. All
right.
Or Dimitri will do this in Glabro.
Oh, I did this in Hommet form. So I'm in Hommet form.
Egan, I'm going to spend a Gnosis to double my movement speed and a willpower for automatic success.
All right. Your difficulty will decrease by 1 with your increased movement speed.
All right. And I'll do this in Glabro. All right.
It's no big for our two goons here who probably did it in Hommet form. Cora and Mark.
Jump on, grab hold, and you all pull yourself up as Kyle grabs hold on the baby, pulls himself up, and you're able to ride the train down. Train makes a stop in Portland first, as I need who has the lowest dex stealth? And that'll be for the group. We got 5s. All right, so far 5's the lowest.
I've got 4.
Dimitri.
You win the lottery.
A bone gnar has less stealth than this glass walker.
A lupus has less stealth than a... All right, so...
I have 1 dot in stealth.
Me too.
Roll dex stealth, diff 6.
Oh, do we get to use Owl's dots of stealth?
If that's the case, he can bring it up to 5. But if he goes over 5, then we got to go to the next lowest. Which would be Cora.
Well, doesn't Owl lower the difficulty?
Look up Owl.
I must be misremembering.
I do know that it changes between editions, which does not help.
-2 difficulty for stealth or silence rolls. 3 dice to apply to any gift involving air travel, movement, or darkness.
Okay, so it's not it doesn't give us extra dice for stealth, it's minus difficulty.
Zeb gets the dice because he has a stealth-related gift that he always used. That doesn't require any resource. But you get -2 difficulty in your roll.
Yeah, gotcha. So roll that then. It'll be diff 4 then, Dimitri.
There we go.
Hey, you expertly hide with everyone, avoiding people, and then get back on the train and start riding down. You guys get some sleep, and it is the next day as you arrive in Los Angeles. Actually, you stop in San Francisco. This time your car is not touched, and then you end up in Los Angeles. You jump out, but now you have a conundrum, as the Sept is pretty close to the center of Los Angeles in the area of Skid Row, which means it is densely populated, and you have the cub with you.
What time of day is it?
It is about 6 p.m. after all the stuff that you've been doing and all the stops. It's about 6 or 7.
Okay.
But L.A. is quite busy, even at night.
I mean, you find us a nasty-looking shopping cart. Zeb and Eli can probably look like ne'er-do-wells with their shopping cart full of garbage in the cub, and the rest kind of make their way watching our backs so we're not all clumped together in a group of seven.
Sure.
Sounds like a good idea, yeah.
Sounds good. Maybe we can find like an old blanket or a jacket to throw over the cub on top.
And like cans and garbage.
Yeah, well, sure, we could find that once we get out of the rail lines here.
I have a joke. We can make a mobile home right at the Cardboard Palace and a shopping cart.
Huh.
So, yes. It looked like you're going to say something, Sean.
Yeah, Keegan, when we're stopped, kind of hold up for a moment, I'd like to roll Blissful Ignorance. As long as I'm stopped, the Ragabash gift, but it's for Striders. I'm going to roll it to essentially remove successes from people that'd be looking to seek me out right now while we're just here stationary before okay. We start moving again. It's a stamina stealth roll.
All right, make that roll. And there's one other thing you guys got to consider. What is the story of the cub that you're going to tell the Bone Gnars when you try and enter their cairn?
Because I'm all thinking right. We could just say, this is a Metis child we found and we're here to deliver it to another sept for it to be raised.
Awesome. So my idea for the story was the child is one of the kids of our pack mates and they both died and we needed to get it back to our sept. So going through the Umbra is the easiest. You guys were the closest with a cairn and we can't get through to the Umbra unless we're at the heart of a cairn.
I like it.
Yep. Sounds good to me.
My one caveat for the whole thing is we're making more and more lies. I think it's just simpler to say that we've adopted the Metis or anything along those lines. It's just that way we can keep stories straight from everything that we've been doing. And so we're not going to get found out with all of our lies. Okay, but so I do like the suggestion.
And we're going to stick with our aliases in our stories. Banebreakers were under the Enigma.
The Enigma where? Technique, yeah.
The Enigma technique. Sounds good.
I think that's what we should do then. It's a Metis under our care, and we need to go into the Umbra for protection.
I think Adam and Sam have got it, right? Like, this is a child that we've adopted. We're taking care of it. We just need to get the hell out of here. We show them what we got, and they're like, look, man, like, we've got nothing, and we've got this fucking kid. Like, what else can we do for you? We just need to get the hell out of here, and we are broke, derelict guru. And if they put something on the table there that we can do for them to open the moon bridge, then there we have it, right? And that's yep. Just part of it. Whatever the hell stay we have here, we do that part, and then like, hey, man, thanks a lot for the help. If they want it, cash on delivery later, fine. If they want something now, we'll figure out something now. So Keegan, that's minus seven successes to anyone that was actually actively looking for Zeb.
Yeah, no one's actively looking for Zeb now. All right, yeah. So you guys kind of pile your stuff on. The child is dazzled, so they're not struggling against the trash. As you spread out, you start to go, and Dimitri gives kind of a call of introduction as the Bone Gnars come out. As you see them all step out, as you see two Hispanic and three black Bone Gnars kind of step out as one goes, what brings you here? My name is Tooth Ripper of the Bone Gnars. You notice that dangling from Tooth Ripper's belt is a pair of pliers.
All right, greetings, Tooth Ripper. I am Eli Trash Drummer. These are my allies and associates. We come seeking passage. We have taken a Metis cub under our protection, and we are seeking passage to use your moon bridge to travel to a more rural sept far away from prying eyes.
That doesn't seem to be too bad. We'd make sure that the veil is lifted. Come, we'll show you where it is. As they bring you to the heart of the cairn, nicely hidden so that people who come to the park don't accidentally step into the Umbra. As you all pass through, Kyle kind of stirs, wakes up as Kyle picks up and bounces it.
Mark will reach into his magpie swag and present 3 talents to them as thanks, because it seems like they haven't asked for payment.
They
thank you
the veil
so much.
Torn right in front of our... We just don't want the veil torn in front of our cairn, but thank you. The moon bridge doesn't go far, but it can get you across somewhere if need be. We have a couple. We can send you out to a former older brother, Karen, now controlled by the Glasswalkers, on Santa Rosa Island. With the child there, or the humans won't see the child there, so you can raise it in the ways of the guru.
I think that sounds great.
Thank you so much.
As they start making the call, as they start praying, as the city father of Skid Row rises up, a creature of a mound full of cityscapes peeling around with what appear to be ancient parks and ways as the moon bridge shoots up into the heavens.
Give nods of affirmation and walk on through.
You walk on up as you get to the peak of the moon bridge and you all hop off. And you are in the ethereal realm, standing on clouds, and in the distance you see what appears to be a monastery carved of pure marble just on the horizon.
All right.
Well, let's hit the road. Let's get going towards that monastery.
As you head towards the monastery, start moving as the area begins to ignite with colors as the ground beneath you seems to almost turn to flames. As sunrise happens and the clouds glitter and sparkle and the entire temple appears to be crafted of red jade, as you get to the door and you see sutras written in the Garu glyphs. The door opens up and you see a Native American man, head shaved in robes. Are you the ill omens in Fomori's Bane?
We are.
As I thought, my name is Sirius Darkstar. I am Athro of the Stargazers. Welcome. Please enter. You enter the monastery and it's a beautiful garden in the heavens. It is good that you have brought the child. We had done readings and it appeared by the constellations that you would all be arrive in the next few days. Thankfully, spirits of prophecy were sent from here to the Sept of Prophecy a few days ago to try and intercept and make sure that they gave you the right ways to this place. We can give you a few days of food and time to rest if required.
It is much appreciated. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I will be able to give you lessons if you require on the spiritual patrons of the heavens.
I think I would appreciate some of those lessons.
I'm curious as well.
Of course. There are a total of 13 celestial bodies who are represented here in the Umbra. Eshtara, the song teller, is the incarnate representative of Earth. She is representative of Gaia here in this realm. She is a fragment of Gaia. A part, but not Gaia herself. Then you have Hakake, the Ebon Whisper. This great Incarna is associated with the planet Vulcan, a twin to another celestial body that humanity has not seen yet or once believed existed. Petanka Sanak, the Wind Rider, is the Incarna that represents the sun and is a piece of Helios. There is Nurgle, the Incarna of Mars. Lubat, the peaceful counselor, who represents Saturn. Merose, the wandering mystic, who represents Pluto. Mitanun, the clever rogue, representing Mercury. Rorg, the many-taloned hunter, who represents the asteroid belt. His planet destroyed long ago by the worm and shattering his body across the heavens. Ruatma, the shadowed one, who represents Uranus. Chantar, the loom maker, who represents Neptune. Sokta, the lambent lady. She is the incarna of Luna and a part piece of Luna, the Celestian. Hambai Yun, the veiled mother, who represents Venus. Zarok, the crown ruler, who represents Jupiter. many will be interested, especially with the rise of Anthelios.
Should we try to speak to as many of them as we can, or...
I shall leave that to you.
I suppose we might as well, since we took all the trouble to get up here.
Would make some sense. May I suggest that you follow the patrons of your zodiac sign?
Good thing I already know this, because Mark was born August 20th.
Oh, what year, though?
What year? So, let's see. 20 now. So, he's born 2003.
2003, okay. Because, as the Sirius goes, the Garu months change. The first Garu month is the first full moon after the spring equinox. And then every month after is the next full moon.
Oh boy. I gotta do lunar calendar stuff now.
If I'm doing my math right, that means Dimitri was born in 2013.
William, your astrological sign is Tambayan, or Tambaya, the Veiled Mother, which is Venus.
2/7.
Yeah, so Korra's astrological sign is Eshtara. We know who the closest one is. Eshtara.
Perfect.
Oh, let's see. Korra's star sign first. She's gonna finally be like the cool girls from her school that laughed at her for being so swole. Or she crushed them. Alright, so Sirius goes, have a seat. Come, food's coming out, as there's several things of ephemeral flesh cooked in a nutritious meal. You'll all regain 1 point of gnosis from this meal. Tell me about yourselves. Tell me your concerns. What can we do to improve your chances upon the journey?
If I might ask a more divergent question for a moment. What was revealed to the stargazers that determined that finding their own middle way was now? Now was the time to do this. Was it Anthelios?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Leaving the Garu Nation.
I'm not aware that the Stargazers have left the Garu Nation. We have been here studying the stars in this monastery. Many of us cannot re-enter the physical realm without spending Gnosis to give ourselves bodies.
A message was sent out and given at a great moot that the Stargazers had left the nation and went east.
They very well may have, but we are not a monolithic tribe, and we have been here performing our duty to the stars, to prophecy.
Well, I guess in this case, we act as newsbearers. Stargazers have left the Garu Nation.
I take your point that it's not a concern for the devotees here. I suppose if we get to a concern connected to the point that my friend makes, it was significant to lose that wisdom. And now we find ourselves lacking when it comes to a child that many would sooner see die. And it's become especially dire to know. My fear and concern is that our actions turn this child to walk the spiral no matter what we do. That the fate's been decided already.
It bends and twists in ways that we do not understand. And that we can't always predict. Do you truly think this child is damned? Each of you? Do you? As Sirius looks directly at Zeb, face stern and hard.
I don't know what kind of creation would leave this innocence to slaughter when maybe it was meant to save us all. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we win, and that I recognize.
Odds turns to look at Korra. And you? Do you think something can be born evil?
I think that anything is born with its nature. A lion is not evil because it eats a gazelle. It becomes evil once it is aware of the pain and suffering that it causes, and it continues to do so.
Do you believe that it will be evil despite your best efforts?
This child? I do not know, and it is my sincerest hope that our best efforts can guide and help this child to not be evil. In the end, it's up to the choice that this child makes.
Turns and looks at Dimitri. And you? You think that this child is born evil? that it will turn despite your best efforts?
No, I do not. I believe not that we are not born to be the way that we are. We are raised by those that take care of us and influenced by them to make our own choices when the time comes. I say that because I was born Lupus, but I am unlike any other wolf or Lupus that I know, and that is because I was raised and influenced by humans that took care of me, and it is through my choices that I have stayed that way. And I believe it will be the child's choice when the time comes. And I believe that the best we can do is do the best we can and hope that it works out in the end.
Looks at Mark, and the same to you.
The child has potential for both, good or evil.
Nods. And you, as they turn and look at William.
I believe everyone has the choice that they can make. My fear is that destiny intervenes and makes that choice for us instead.
If destiny makes a choice, then the choice is made whether you help or not then, correct?
And that's my fear. Nothing that we do would be enough if destiny intervenes.
Be wary, for until you solve the problem of where the child goes, be aware that you are its parent. And just as any parents, your fears, your doubts, your criticisms will be weights that could drown this child to make the destiny you fear inevitable. Projecting your own failures to make sure that they fail in turn. I will ask one more question, and then I will give you some time to yourselves, and then we can reconvene in the tea room to warm our bodies and spirits, and then I can let you rest, and tomorrow I can show you a nearby gateway into the membranous skies to speak with Planetary Incarna, if you are so inclined. My question is, have you looked at the child? Have you absorbed it and appreciated it for what the child is?
Well, really, we've been on the run ever since we've encountered the child.
May I ask a clarifying question? As in, have we fully adopted the child into our hearts?
Have you accepted it as a child that you wish to care for? Or that you wish to be cared for? Yes. Have you accepted it in your hearts, even if you do not plan to be its full-time parent for forever? Do you see it as a child or a vessel?
I will be honest, I have spoke about it as if it was a child, but I've only seen it as a vessel currently. All we talk about is what will the child do, but using words as child, not vessel.
Never really contemplated it. It's just been the child of two dear friends lost, and a life I've needed to protect because it's an orphan. That's how I guess I've reasoned it so far.
Understood. I'll leave you some time. Please, relax. If there's more food, please ring the bell here, and we'll be sure to cook you more to warm yourselves, and I will get the tea room ready and some time for you all to collect yourselves and your thoughts. As I said, you've had a harrowing journey, and it is better to move with a clear mind. Darius stands up, bows to you all, and then leaves as you have a few moments to yourself.
Mark will lay out because this is the first time he's not sleeping in a car in so long or out in a forest somewhere. Not sleep, just stretch out.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm kind of with you, big guy. It must be real nice for them to have been completely disconnected from the rest of the fucking world, sitting up here in a monastery stuttering while the rest of us are living in shit, trying not to die.
As you said, they're not a monolithic tribe, but you bring up a good point. Stare too much at one's duties and the rest of the world passes by, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm coming off like a bitter asshole, but, like, I don't want this kid to have the shit that's coming its way that it's gonna have. Like, nobody does. If anything, you'd hope that he could just be nobody, right? Like, lives somewhere else, not here, nobody knows his name. I mean, he has a name, but nobody knows that he's anything special. Just some kid. I think we'd all give something for that.
He was just brought into this world, and so much is already expected to be on his shoulders.
That's the scary part about people that are obsessed with it. Him. They. Haven't even determined its sex. I haven't even sat down long enough to figure that the fuck out. That is exactly what I worry about, my guy, is just as bad as the Spirals wanting this thing to be their champion is some fucking psychos that think he's the chosen one, and they end up, right, it's like that movie, you know, Celestial Battles, right, and the chosen one just falls right off, right? That someone will find a way to fuck this up.
Yeah, that's way more complex than some sci-fi movie, definitely.
I think the best way to look at it is let the child decide when they get older. Like, we can't put that pressure on them, but when you grew up, or as you were growing up, did you not want to be something bigger? President, CEO, you know, somebody worth something.
As an orphan myself, definitely. The Garu Nation provided that for me, but right now the Garu Nation is a threat to that opportunity to him. Or her. Them. I can't help but feel attached just in that. I never knew my parents. This child will never know his. Hers. Mark will kind of flail his arms a little bit in frustration and not even know who the child is.
Might help if we gave them a name. Something to think about.
Then
show
I think
a little bit more love than, hey, you know, needless burden that eats lots of formula.
That could be their guru name. Jokes aside, I think it is time to sit down and talk with the child. It may be one-sided, but I'm sure they have a personality after 10 days. Hell, they probably already have things that we don't even know about that they've developed. Tics or mannerisms. Probably picked up your swearing, Seb.
I think you're onto something there, William. I mean, nurturing and interest is probably a good start.
We'll be the faces.
Well, not mine. But somebody pretty.
Cora,
don't worry. You'll have the most endearing face of all, Uncle Zeb.
Dimitri is the prettiest person in this group. It is canon. Dimitri has like 4 appearances or 5, right?
That's right. That's right.
As Zeb was saying that, I just imagined Zeb looking over at Dimitri.
But doesn't Dimitri also only have one eye?
Doesn't matter. Beautiful. Still gorgeous.
He's alien. That's right. He's a gorgeous cyclops.
I forget that because I always picture one eye as like zero appearance because that's what I know as Zeb. So when Dimitri has one eye, I think ugly as shit.
Yeah, nope. No. Dimitri turns and it's just like, that eye is just enticing. Those succulent lips, that flowing hair.
Well, that empty socket.
God. And that smile. That damn smile.
I've kind of been assuming Dimitri has had an eye patch this entire time.
Glass eye.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
That's why it looks great. Because nobody questions it until they get up close and personal.
It's why his perception is so high. He sees what you do over there.
There are people who have eye patches who are still attractive.
Yes.
Even so, just, you know.
Snake Plissken.
We know who we want to visit first, then. We want to see the mother.
Dara is the closest. But we do have time for our rest here. Time to get to know the child before on this journey, I'd imagine.
That's what I was thinking.
We should rest first. Maybe try to get to know the child's personality a little bit, and then continue on.
Maybe let the child walk around a little bit. It's been carried pretty much this whole time.
That might endear us a bit to Ashtara also. A little nurturing and attention and sacred duty.
Zebria, I understand what you're trying to say, but not everything is part of duty. This is a child and not a tool to appease a spirit.
Raising children and being a good parent is a sacred duty in and of itself. Thank you for the clarification, though. You're right.
Yeah, with that, Kyle lets go of the dazzle as the child starts to wander around on all fours like a wolf, stretching its legs. Basically, for the first time in like 2 weeks.
Cora will shift to Lupus and kind of just walk next to the child while it's exploring. Make sure that it's okay and that it doesn't get into any precarious situations.
All right. So the child keeps wandering and the child looks up to the heavens. And Cora, just the briefest glimpse, the child looking up, its deep sigh, even through the white mark of fur, the child looks remarkably like Malcolm for a moment in pure contemplation.
And then we start crying and, you know, hugging the child and carrying it again, because now we're deeply bonded. Just joking for most of that. Anyway.
Yes, the child continues to wander around. It picks up a couple bowls of unfinished food. It starts to get ready to eat it as Coria pick it up. As they move, they kind of throw some of the food, and in a deep Krynos voice, you hear almost like a childlike giggle as the food splats on the wall.
Cora will put him down and let him do it again.
Picks up and just wham! Laughs, starts crawling over, and then takes his clawed hands and starts smearing it and creates like a little Picasso.
Lily, me have a camera phone. Take a picture.
We have a little artist.
Could at least say please?
No.
Then I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for the child.
Got him.
Wasn't for me in the first place.
I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna do it for me. So brave. Stunning. Anyway, as you get the picture, as you make sure to encrypt the shit out of that so that's not a litany breach by accident, as it gets up onto the, gets its paws onto the table as it partially lifts itself up, its legs wobbling, as it throws back its arms and lets out a howl of just pure fury and rage as a Krynosborn before collapsing backwards onto his back and starts to just has a ton of pent-up energy. You spend a couple hours like that before the child finally kind of falls asleep. Giant wolf head on swole-ass baby arm in the crook on its belly, legs stretched all the way back, tail flat as they fall asleep. Dark Star returns and goes, the tea is ready if you wish to join.
Of course. You got something that I can clean this up with?
Yes, we'll make sure to do it after tea. Thank you for the offer of cleaning.
Of course.
So you walk into the nice little room. You sit down, little cups of excellent tea. The smell is wonderful. As you sit in... Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say so.
As you kind of sit in some silence, just there. So the Stargazers left.
That they did.
I communed with Chimera for some time, so unfortunate but expected.
What do you mean by expected? If you could share some insight with us as to why.
Well, many Stargazers believe that the true enemy is the Spider, that she is the one who captured the worm, and she is the one who has tipped the world out of balance. The other is how we deal with our rage is different than the rest of the nation, and how we have had for some time growing relations with the Beast Courts of the East. And I'd heard about the fall of our greatest Karen. That did come through to us after it fell, and the Stargazers were unable to reclaim it.
What took it?
A unit of worm creatures who were able to leverage the military in an operation, claiming that the Karen was full of terrorists and extremists. It is said to be the second sept of the Stargazers, after the first collapsed, when the creator of our tribe collapsed the first so that the Stargazers could go to the world and teach the many lessons.
Well, thank you for sharing. I just in some ways the departure of the Stargazers from the nation still feels very sudden. At least your words help us understand, you know, the reasons why, and they are good ones.
Your understanding goes further than many other Garu of the nation, so I appreciate your kind words. Anyway, I will let you get some sleep. I'll help you clean up the mess, Korra Two Hearts.
Sounds good.
Do some wiping. Lift the child up as they bring out a small cot that looks like that has been refitted to be like a crib. You guys do your rotations as one of you is woken up in the middle of the night to feed the young child before the next morning. Sirius Darkstar goes, "You will be able to breathe in this realm. The biggest thing for travel outside of Eshtara and, Sokta, is using a mixture of the gravity and the solar winds produced by Katanka Sonak. They will be able to blow you towards other planets. You must ride them and learn to ride them. It may be difficult, but it is something that will allow you to travel and find the Inkarna. The Inkarna will all require different tasks related to their natures." As he looks over at Mark, Korra, Zeb, and I think Dimitri also has Lambent Sight, right? Yeah. Looks at you guys and goes, as you five are well aware, if you do something impressive enough, you may be gifted new gifts from the spirits as well. And I are likely to give you advice on both the child and the star. And then I hope their wisdom will allow you to bring back information to the nation so that you can cool their rage so that they do not make yet another mistake.
And one more question on my mind. As we are traveling between the celestial bodies, are there dangers along the way that we should be aware of?
There will be likely hostile spirits. With the new star arriving, I would not be surprised if the worm spirits are more active. You may have to do battle. But it seems your packs have two Aruns, and both of notable strength. The markings of your ranks are even more clear here. As you guys look at your skin, you notice that you do have glyphs that almost form the story of your actions that helps you get to your ranks all along your bodies. All of you.
That's cool.
But please, have some time. Rest. I see you're getting to know the child. Get to know them more. That way you will have something to speak and boast about to the spirits of heaven. And we will find out how this all plays out next time. Thank you to everyone who listened. We'll catch you in that next episode. Bye.
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 Bye-bye.
Goodbye.